ESPN 97.7 The Ref presents Stand Your Heart on Basketball. A weekly inside
I'm
look
at survive. There's no way I'm going to let this take over me.
Cancer doesn't care what you look like, who you are.
It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love.
You ain't get this cancer about you. Let's do it.
Live. Fight like hell. And when you get too tired to fight, let somebody else fight for you.
Because of all the donations, mine is one of the lives that's been saved.
One, two, three. Never give up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Visit v.org/donate.
ESPN 97.7 WREF, Sebring, Henderson, and Evansville. ESPN 97.7 The Ref. ESPN 97.7 The Ref presents Stan Gerard on Basketball, a weekly inside look into the University of Southern Indiana men's basketball program, featuring comments from the coach and a member of this year's USI team. Stan Gerard on Basketball is being brought to you by Tironi's, Allstott Office City, Banterra Bank, and by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agency. Now with USI head coach Stan Gerard, here's the host of the show, ESPN's Dan Agurski.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Stan Gerard on Basketball here at ESPN 97.7 FM. The Ref with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Then we've got a Big 12 game for you coming up from Waco, Texas. It's second-ranked Baylor taking on number 6 Kansas Jayhawks. That follows our show here. And for the next 60 minutes, we'll talk USI basketball. A very busy week for this team. Three games, the first two on the road at Southwest Baptist, and then Indianapolis, a home-and-home with the Greyhounds that culminated Saturday with the Eagles and a come-from-behind win over the Greyhounds to take 2 of 3 last week. And now get set for another very busy week for the third week in a row. The Eagles will be on the road. Be at Lewis on Thursday, Illinois Springfield on Saturday, and then a makeup game with the Big Red Flyers of Lewis next Tuesday. So like last week when the Eagles saw the Greyhounds back-to-back, two of the next three games will be against Lewis, one on the road, and then the makeup game next Tuesday night here against Lewis University. Stan Gerard joining us. Coach, good evening. How are you?
I'm great, Dan. How are you doing?
Well, doing okay. So we were talking on the off the air just a minute or so ago about this basketball team, and we'll get with it. But, a long week. I mean, you know, you look at this Great Lakes Valley Conference, the landscape of it, and obviously right now Indianapolis is the farthest eastern team, USI not far away, and you look at every one of these road trips, other than going to McKendree, it's like, man, how many miles we put on the bus last week?
Well, I do know, Dan, we were on the bus last week for a total of 15 hours. You know, that's driving from here to Missouri, Missouri to Indy, Indy back to Evansville. So we spent a lot of time on the bus and getting to know each other and hanging out, watching film, and a lot of stopping and going. But yeah, we spent a lot of time on the bus, and this league is not like it used to be. You know, we used to have what, St. Joe, Bellarmine, Northern Kentucky, all those guys that left the league now, and now we're traveling west.
Yeah,
with the exception of Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, it was quicker to go to Parkside and Kenosha than it is some of these other places we're going. But, you know, that's kind of the way it is right now in this GLVC. But, you know, last week, certainly, the game with Southwest Baptist was originally on the schedule for February the 11th. And when you looked at that, you're thinking, okay, go to Bolivar, Missouri, 6.5 hours from here, play a Thursday night, get back at Lord knows what time, about 5 in the morning, and then that's a Friday, then turn around and play jury on a Saturday. So, you know, this was part of the discussion when everything was kind of, the McKendree game got postponed, and so you picked up that game, and it was a great way to start the week going down there to play a quality basketball team, and a game where, you know, I think USI led from start to finish, maybe one or two ties early on in that game, but just to be on the road that far and playing a quality team, it got the week off to a good start.
Yes, it did. I told our guys that was a signature win for us because we haven't had one of those yet. You know, we dropped the ball against Truman State, and we had a chance to cover some ground here and winning against a really good opponent in the region and in our league, of course. And, you know, that game we put together a game plan in about a day and a half. We were scheduled to play McKendree. McKendree had some COVID issues within the organization, and we started looking at McKendree's schedule to see what they were going to play next, and Southwest Baptist was on the schedule. So the coach and I at Southwest Baptist, we talked a bit, and that just freed up, you know, an open date for later in the season just in case something happens. But extremely thankful to coach over at Southwest Baptist for, you know, being open to, you know, moving some games around so that we can just get an opportunity to play, man. I struggle with our guys not getting many reps. You know, we practice more than we play, it seems like. But at this point in the season, we want to play more basketball games, and that was a bonus for us to get that opportunity.
Well, and you did, and, you know, you look at that team, and, you know, you look at a scouting report, and they talk about their previous game. I can't remember who it was against, but whatever they did against that previous opponent, it might have been William Jewell.
Yes.
You know, you sit and you look at that, and I've kind of confided in you a little bit with these scouting reports. You're thinking, okay, you focus in on two or three guys, and then you get somebody that's really not even on the scouting report that it comes up. Well, you know, Southwest Baptist, the game before against Jewell, they go like 4 of 21 from 3. Last Tuesday afternoon, they hit 12 threes in the game.
It's always us. And we're not doing a good job of guarding three-point line. You know, we often, I think it has a lot to do with communication, just lack of trust in the whole defensive system. But we struggled to guard the three-point line. You saw against Indy in our past couple of games, and then Southwest Baptist down the stretch. You know, we knew they wanted to score two threes to get back in the game, and we emphasized that in the timeouts, and they came out and hit threes. So we have to continue to rep situational games towards the end of practice so that we can understand how to close out a basketball game, because right now we're struggling that aspect.
Well, you are, and like I said, that Southwest Baptist, I mean, it was a, you know, 10 or 12 point lead with about 6 to 7 minutes left to go, and then Quinn Nelson got hot, and Brady Smith got hot, and they were hitting threes all over the place, and it got down to a one possession game, and then Tyler Henry hit some big free throws down the stretch, ended up winning the basketball game 84-77, but, you know, free throws were really good that day, rebounding, you dominated the boards. And the one statistic that, you know, kind of jumps out at you, we look at the box score, 12 assists, 21 turnovers. And in this league, you're not going to beat too many teams with 21 turnovers, but you guys were able to kind of dispel that myth, at least for one day.
Thank God we can rebound because, you know, 21 turnovers on the road or even at home, you're not going to, that's 21 less possessions that you have. And I told our guys when we lost in Indy, because we had 23, we topped that 21 with two extra to 23. And I told our guys after the Southwest Baptist game and even after the Indy game, you're not going to win turning the ball over 23 times or 21 times because that's, again, 23 possessions that you don't get back or 23 shots you don't get. You know, like I told my guys after the game at Indy, if we just eliminate seven of those turnovers, we'll get seven extra shots. I guarantee you we'll make at least one out of seven of those shots that we didn't get. We win the ball game. We lose by one. So that's an error that that's something we got to fix in practice, and I think it's a correctable error. You know, I think it just boils down to us valuing possessions a little bit more. You know, we get a little careless sometimes when we have a lead. We relax, take our foot off the gas pedal, and we got to be a team that can close some guys out. We always get a lead, but we struggle closing teams out rather.
And the thing of it is right now, I mean, we've seen it through the first eight games. You get that ball down there to Price, to Emmanuel. You know, Tyler, when he's healthy, you know, Kashawn, we saw him get a few minutes on Saturday as well. I think he's going to be a great force for this team going forward once he gets himself in the shape that he wants to be and you guys want to be in. But, you know, those guys getting double and triple team down there, kicking the ball out, and you talk about the outside shooting. Do you feel that it's getting a little bit better? I mean, it's not where you want it to be yet, but do you feel that the team is, as far as getting the ball inside, kicking it back out, that they're getting that, having more confidence in outside shooters to hit baskets?
Well, after the other day, what Chance Coyle did, I would say yes, you know, because, you know, prior to that, Jelani Simmons, Tyler Henry was kind of hit and miss on their shooting. You know, Mateo's very consistent. But we're going to get double-teamed. We have the two best bigs in the league, I think. And these guys are going to get double-teamed. And teams are challenging us to shoot the three. You know, we have to do a better job with getting the ball back out quick. You know, as you saw in our adjustment for the Saturday game, we came in on practice on Friday and worked on the double teams, you know, where we put guys in spots where they should be when Josh or Emmanuel gets double teamed. And I think we had 11 turnovers in that game versus the 23. In the Indy game and the Southwest Baptist game, when the ball was passed in the post, we stood around while they double teamed us. You know, we got to get some movement off the basketball. And I thought we were better on Saturday against Indy when the ball went inside. Now, with that being said, you know, I told our bigs, we got to catch it deeper. You got to go quicker and spin away from the double team. I thought we were posting too low in the Indy game. We post below the block instead of above the block. When you post below the block and you spin baseline, you're behind the backboard. If you post above the block, you spin baseline, you still got a pretty good angle to score. And plus, we put a guy in the corner we call a drift. That means we pass it across court, across the baseline to the other guy. And we got our bigs posting a little bit deeper, not quite where I wanted to be, but they were above the block where they can, you know, make some decisions, you know. And Josh at 6'9", you know, Josh had 6 turnovers in each game. You know, I told Josh jokingly that he's close to a triple-double in a negative way. But at 6'9", he's got to get that ball above his head. He's got to stop making chest passes out of the post and use overhead two-hand passes. You know, there are people there with arms, we always say in practice. And he is 6'9", he can pass over those guys versus trying to make a chest pass out of the post when there's people right there in front.
So you look at the 5 games so far this month of January. All right, Truman State, it was a one-possession game with a minute 25 left to go. They end up winning the ball game by 6 or 7. Quincy, you know, you come back from that game. It comes down to the final minute or two of that game, hit some free throws, win it by 6. Then you go to Southwest Baptist. It's a one-point game with about a minute to go. You win that one by 7. Indianapolis, a one-point game. The other day, Indianapolis had a chance to tie with a 3 there. It's 80-77, or whatever it was, 78-75. They have a chance to tie. So you're talking about closing out games. You've been able to close out 3 of 5, and you probably love to have about another minute back in the Indy game as well as the Truman State game. So is the team, do you feel, Stan, making strides as far as closing these games out? Because it just seems like every single one of them are coming down to the final minute.
Well, I would say yes, and I would also say no, because we won more than we have than we lost down the stretch, but we should be better. You know, we have a lot of experienced guys on this basketball club that was around the past couple of years, and they know each other's tendencies probably more so than I do. But I felt like in every game that we've won, every game that we lost, our decision making down the stretch is not very good. You know, and I think that's our Achilles heel. You know, we can be ahead on some guys, but, you know, how do we act when we got a 10-point lead? How do we act when it's a one-possession basketball game? You know, I remember at Indy, 48 seconds ago, it was 62-62. We guarded them great at Indy in that possession. We forced Corey Miller into a one-foot fadeaway jump shot, and, you know, tough teams finishes that play. We didn't check out. We missed a checkout on Jesse Bingham. He goes up for a tip. And we had 3 guys inside their guys. It was 3 guys, 3 of our guys inside and 2 of their guys on the outside. And he ran past 2 of our guys for a tip that he missed, but he got fouled. And he made 1 free throw. You know, it's plays like that. And I go back and look at those plays. When you're fighting for your life on the road or even at home, and it's a 1 or 2 possession basketball game, there's got to be some bodies flying around. There's got to be some guys boxed out. There's got to be 5 guys attacking the D-boards because, you know, that's important. It could be a long bounce. It could be a big guy getting the rebound. He drops it. But we got to get 5 guys in the paint. We got to get bodies on bodies. We got to go get the ball in the air. You know, I think, you know, in that particular case, Josh and Emmanuel was on the left block, and Mateo was right around the right in front of the basket, and he ran right past all 3 of those guys for a tip. And I think that was the ball game. You know, we got to make championship plays, and that was not a championship play. Now, that's not the only reason why we lost, but it was a lot of small, minor details that add up to something big, and the big thing I'm talking about is a W.
Well, certainly, and against the team, like you said, with Indianapolis, I mean, you know they had that game marked on their calendar. You know, that was a game that was postponed back in December, should have been played then, but it was not, and you knew that they were going to be taking their game to a whole different level just because of you, your staff, Price, you know, Emmanuel and Mateo all being from Indianapolis, and so, you know, and they really kind of picked up where they left off Saturday. We'll talk about that game coming up Saturday in just a second, but let me go back to the game on Thursday. Had a chance to win. I think Jelani creates a great out-of-bounds play where Corey Miller turned the ball over with about 7 seconds left to go. Just kind of take us through that play. You know, Glenn Ryle, an outstanding shooter, had a good look in the corner, just couldn't get it to go, but was that the play set up?
Yeah, that's how it was. We were down one. We wanted to press them with our 55 defense, and we wanted to get a good trap and take away the inbounder. Corey Miller splits the defense, drives the baseline, dribbles off his foot, and now we have a chance. And coming out of a timeout, and like I said, I always complain about and talk about to our guys' execution. We had a play we were going to run, and that didn't work. We call a timeout. We draw up our second play in that timeout, and I don't know what happened in 3 seconds because we were supposed to start in a certain alignment, and walking out of that timeout to go to the court, the play was already – it was in the wrong spots, you know, so they had to improvise. I mean, and I was disappointed because we had Mateo Sr., Emmanuel Sr., Glenn Jr., Jelani Jr., and then Josh Price. We had three seniors out there, and these are plays we work on every single day in practice, and they were in the wrong spots. We were supposed to start in a 1-4 look, and instead they started in the box because we could run this particular play in a box set or a flat look. Well, we have about 9 plays in a 1-4 flat look and about 3 plays in a box, and it's pretty evident when we're running in that box set. The play is called power, and we was going to run power out of a 1-4 set. And the play was to get the ball to Emmanuel on he's supposed to pop and handle, reverse the Josh down screen from Mateo, punch the ball inside. Cause I'm a firm believer and you don't settle for a jump shot late. You put the pressure on the officials to call a foul. And Emmanuel's great around the basket. So I was putting the ball in All American's hands, and, Mateo felt like he had a clean look and he shot the ball instead. And we didn't get the ball inside. Well, we also get a second look, out of another play we ran for, like you said, Clayton to get the jump shot on the hammer screen, and great look, you know, and not Clayton, I said Clayton, is Glenn.
Yeah.
For Glenn to get a shot, and I'll tell you what, I think Glenn will make that shot 8 or 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
If he had it again. We got the ball in the hands of the guy we wanted, and he just missed it, you know. But at the same time, I just talked about the other play that was ran wrong. That play was not ran the correct way either, because there shouldn't have been two bigs in the paint when Josh Price dribble handoff to Mateo going downhill on opposite side. Emmanuel was supposed to be in opposite corner. That play we ran over and over again at Indy a year ago, and Jimmy King, our point guard, got layups in that play. Mateo couldn't get all the way to the basket because there was two bigs waiting on him at the basket. You know, if Mateo shoots that shot with one big in there, Kendrick Tashua, he's a great off-the-ball shot blocker, and I knew that. And my thing was get a shot from Mateo or hit Glenn in the corner. If Mateo misses, Kendrick Tashua is trying to clean it up. That leaves Josh Price for a putback. But because Emmanuel and Josh both were clogging the paint, Mateo couldn't get one more dribble. He's at the rim. Now, we missed that shot. I think Mateo gets a second chance at it, correct? He tips it in, misses. Then Josh Price tips it in, misses, or Emmanuel, whatever. But we have about 3 or 4 of the looks at the back to win the game. But we missed 11 point blank layups.
Yeah.
You know, Josh's fast break dunk. He goes in there, slips out of his hand. He gets one late second half on a dump down. He misses the dunk. So it's a lot of. It wasn't just one play. It's just a lot of plays that we didn't execute on, or we missed point blank layups and. We didn't win the ball game, and I told our guys we didn't deserve to win, you know, because of the things, 23 turnovers, 11 point blank missed layups, and the defensive miscues. We didn't deserve to win the basketball game.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come right back. Stan Girard on basketball. We'll talk about the good game with Indianapolis, the victory on Saturday, a come-from-behind win for USI. Chance Coyle is also going to join us a little bit later on. This is Stan Girard on basketball. We'll be right back on ESPN 97.7 FM, The Ref.
It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto insurance today.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And the Main Street Boys make a noise.
At Taroni,
nothing but a pizza party.
At Taroni,
and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road.
All right.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right.
Pizza party at Taroni's.
All right, welcome back. Stan Geronimo basketball here on this Monday night with you until 8 o'clock. We've got college basketball, Kansas, and Baylor coming up top of the hour. Well, Stan, obviously, you look at, and you said on our pregame show on Thursday, you know, these guys that stayed for Coach Carrasco this season, certainly Corey Miller, D. Montgomery, I think he was redshirting last year. And the way that they came out on Saturday, you know, Gene and I were talking. We're like, okay, you know, USI, it was kind of a wake-up call for them after the game. Look for USI to come out with a little bit different level of intensity on Saturday. And all of a sudden, Montgomery hits a three with about 10 seconds gone in the game. And you look up, and it's 23-8. And they're like 7 of 7 from three-point range. I'm like, holy cow. But you guys were able to kind of weather the storm a little bit. I mean, you're still down 13, but you made a change in the starting lineup for injuries, for disciplinary reasons, and that's the second or third time we've had that this year. So, I mean, the message that you're sending to this team, if they don't follow it, you know, there's going to be some consequences. But that was probably not the way that you drew it up at the start of the ball game to fall behind 23-8 to Indianapolis.
Just the way I drew it up that way, man. I knew we would get down. But, listen, we're trying to build a culture here. And we as coaches, you know, we're not just trying to win ball games. We're trying to prepare these guys for life after basketball. And we had a couple of things going on with our basketball club that, you know, it just deserved to – it had to happen, you know. Unfortunately for the two guys, Emmanuel and Jelani, we had to make some changes, you know, and I'll just leave it at that. But get down 23-8, that was a tough one because I'm like, what the heck is going on? Because it's not the way we drew it up. And we knew, and I knew, and I told our guys on Wednesday, Thursday that this is going to be this was Indy's Super Bowl. With the way I departed, you know, if I would have stayed at Indy last year, we had a pretty good nucleus coming back, you know. Trevor Lakes transfers to Nebraska. So when I decided to leave, that Zoom call was awkward. You know, we had guys on there crying. We had guys on there just not talking. And the relationships we had with those guys, I expected more. D. Montgomery is, I think, probably could be a player of the year candidate, you know, based on what I've seen last year in our league. And that's what I projected, you know. When we redshirted him last year, you know, he's been struggling late with the new coaching. with the new system. And he picked a great day to have his breakout game. You know, he was he was unreal on both Thursday. I think Thursday you didn't see the D. Montgomery I saw at Indy last year. And then on Saturday he was that guy. D. Montgomery at Indy last year is we were 24-6 last year. D. Montgomery redshirted. D. Montgomery was the best player on my team last year. He would take that scout
better
team.
Better than Lakes and King.
Better than Lakes and King.
Better than JP.
Better than JP. And you can call those guys right now and ask them. D. Montgomery and Jesse Bingham on that scout team every single day, they beat my starters every day. And Jesse Bingham was a redshirt as well.
Wow.
But D. Montgomery could will those guys to win because he did so many things. He shoots the ball deep, as you saw on Saturday. It wasn't, those were five-pointers in my eyes because he was deep. And this kid, he's from down in the Memphis area, Mississippi area rather. But when I watched him at junior college, man, this kid is special. And they're going to be good, you know. D's coming back next year. Corey Miller's coming back next year. But we kind of gave D, we got his confidence back because he was struggling confidence-wise. And he got it going. So D. Montgomery goes 2 of 9 on Thursday and then 5 of 11 from 3. On Saturday. Corey Miller goes 3 of 6 on Saturday. Etherington, who has not been playing very well, goes 3 for 4 from 3 and then 2 for 4 from 3 on Saturday. And then Jesse Bingham, just had a career night against us at Indy with 21 points, 3 of 4 from 3. But again, their Super Bowl, the rivalry is now started. Our rivalry at Indy used to be Bellarmine, but now with us being the only two D2 teams in Indiana, I think it's just begun. It's going to be a fun one to watch in the years to come.
So did you feel that you had a rivalry with Coach Watson when you were up there?
You know what? I did. The guys did not. Because what I try not to do is, even in this Indy game the other day, I never get too high or too low for Southern Indiana. I always try to have an even keel no matter who we're playing. You know, even Bellarmine. It was never in practice all week. Like, we got to beat Bellarmine. And because I didn't want those guys to be so high or so low that we forget about the task at hand. But in my heart, yes, I had a rivalry with Coach Watson because I played here and I wanted to make the people here proud of me when I bring my team to Evansville or they come to Indy.
All right, so the game on Saturday, I mean, you're down 13. It's 47-34, and you're looking, okay, Saturday, Thursday, it's 30-20 at going in, and Nicholson hits that running 35-foot shot. It's 30-20. I mean, 53 points combined for the two teams on Thursday in the first half. Indy scores 47 in the first half on Saturday. So what changed offensively or lack of defense? What was the big difference in the two games where you had a low-scoring 62-61, then less than 48 hours later, it's 80-75?
Well, Indy out-executed us. They were very efficient on the offensive end. I think they were shooting 58% from three in the first half on Saturday, and I think 60 from the field. They slow you down. And listen, defenses break down. You make them guard for 15-20 seconds. They break down late. And we had a lot of breakdowns, late in the shot clock. You know, nothing they did early in the shot clock beat us. It was everything late. You know, they pass around, move. Then they pass, get an inside cut or clip you. But they executed down the stretch. And the first half, I told our guys at halftime, we were playing their style of basketball, you know. And I wanted to speed them up the second half on Saturday. Get out in the passing lane. We're a pack line team, but I want to get out in the passing lanes, press them more, and just play faster. You know, we were coming down court in the half court thinking too much. It would slow down, we'd stop, and let the defense get set. And the second half, we wanted to change that and just play faster. And that benefits us when we play faster. I think that was the biggest difference in the second half compared to the first half on Saturday night.
And certainly you guys created your own momentum. I mean, you're down 13 at the half, and you know, you're at home. I mean, you don't have the home crowd. You don't have the cheerleaders, the pep band, or anything else. But, I mean, the bench was very active in the game on Saturday. And the first couple minutes of the second half, I think you guys scored the first 11 points of the second half. And defense kind of created some offense. You guys got some good looks. People started shooting. People started scoring. And obviously the guy that we're going to talk to here in a few minutes, I mean, when he dropped that first three, I'm like, when was the last time Chance scored? I think it was in 2020. You know.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. But it's been a while since he even took a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, his defense has been outstanding. But, boy, when he hit that, Jelani had that steal, that dunk, a few other plays really kind of ignited this team, and there was nothing really Indianapolis could do about it.
Exactly. And basketball is a game of runs. And I told her, we're going to make our run. You know, the thing is, we got to be able to sustain what these guys are doing. And we started making our runs. I started to question Chance's last name. You know, I think Chance will tell you, are you for sure you a Coyle because of the legacy your dad left here? And I'm sure Dad's listening tonight. But I questioned Chance's last name sometime because his dad was such a great player. And I don't know, man, but Chance woke up. And I'll tell you the thing we did with Chance on Saturday. We took him off the basketball. You know, that point guard position is the hardest position to play on the court. You know, and I didn't learn that until I played in Europe, and I played that position. And as a point guard, you got to get your own. You got to run the team. You got to run the play so that, and make sure guys know that, you know where they should be. And then you also got guys in your ear saying, give me the ball. You know, Josh Price, Emmanuel Little. I think they should touch the ball every time down court. So I think the best thing we did was when Mateo went out, we put Jelani on the ball, put Chance in his more natural position, and that just freed his mind a little bit so that he can relax and focus on what he did great in high school, and that's shoot the basketball. So, but thank God for Chance on Saturday because he hit some big shots for us. And even in Indy, I mean, Southwest Baptist, rather, if you think about Chance, he guarded his butt off there. I mean, he embraced his role as a defender and waited his turn and hit some big shots for us. Inside out, kick outs. And, you know, his confidence is pretty high right now. And now I got to do my job to make sure that we don't take that away from him going down the stretch.
So I always like to ask the head coach this. The three guys that have been in your seat before you here at USI. So it's 78-75, Indianapolis with the basketball, 8-10 seconds left, whatever was there. You knew that it was going to be either Montgomery, Corey Miller. I don't know if Effington was in at the time or not. So defensively, how do you play that? Some coaches, we're up three, let's foul them. Others, we'll give them their chance to see if they can hit a three. And obviously, it was a tough shot Montgomery had there. And then Bingham had the offensive rebound, I think, and put back, and that rolled off the rim. But what is your philosophy, Stan, up three in the closing seconds?
You know what, Dan? My assistants over the years always say foul. And I'm not a big – I tried that one time, and we fouled. And the other team hit a free throw. We gave them an old board. We go to overtime and lose. So I'll never forget that. So my thing is we work on defense in practice 70% of the time. It doesn't look like it at times, but – 70% of our time in practice is defense. So I have to play the percentages, and we're going to try to guard him. At that point, we were going to switch five ways. And if he hits a three, we just got to go down and score or go to overtime. But, you know, in the past, we try to foul. And now, if it's under 4 seconds, then, yes, we're going to foul and trust that Emmanuel and Josh can get that rebound. But I'm going to guard it. You know, I'm a defensive guy, and – even for my playing days, I'm a defensive guy, and I'm a firm believer, and we're going to stop them. You know, and maybe it's not the right call all the time, but I think my guys pick up on my energy and my passion, and I'm a defensive guy, and that's my philosophy. We're going to stop them.
All right. One final question. We'll get to break. So just after the game, obviously, on Thursday, disappointed, but shook hands with some of the folks along the scores table there in Indianapolis. You had a chance to talk to say a few words to your players. What kind of what was that interaction like with some of the guys that you left up there?
Well, I didn't talk to those guys after. They know I'm a sore loser. I did talk with Cassaro and I, the coach who's now in charge. He played for me. Then I also hired him right after college. We spent, I would say, about 20 minutes together after the game. You know, I was just trying to help him get to where he should be. And then I talked to the AD and the president over there. So, then talk to the kids. I wanted to be respectful of their program. After our game on Saturday, I talked to their coach, and I said, hey, I want to talk to a couple of the guys who I coached, and he was okay with that. So I spent some time after the Saturday's game, And I talked to Montgomery, Chin, Bingham, Tashua, and those guys. Just trying to make sure they're okay. You know, I can't tell them or coach them anymore. My thing is, I'm going to be a figure in their, a father figure in their life for the rest of their lives, along with Cassaro. And I just wanted to make sure they were doing okay and tell them how proud I am of them. I know D. Montgomery, he made the honor roll last year for the first time. I mean, this year for the first time, and he texted me his grades, you know, and I know what his grades were before I left. And he made the honor roll, and he texted me his grades, and it gave me a chance to tell him face-to-face how proud of him I am as a man in terms of how he turned his grades around his academics. So we were talking after the game about, you know, graduating and now going to grad school. This is a kid who never even thought about graduating. He just wanted to play basketball, but now he's talking about graduate school. You know, Jalen Chin, same thing. He got a 3-point-something GPA. You know, I was just, you know, those guys are sharing milestones with me. I don't even coach them anymore, but it's just that relationship we've built over the years. And they're sharing milestones with me. I talked to Jesse Bingham's dad before the game, and he's just thanking me for giving his son a chance, you know. And those relationships will never go away, whether I'm coaching those guys or not. And it's going to be the same for these guys I have here at USI. It's just it's not about basketball. It's about preparing these guys for life after basketball when that basketball stops bouncing. They may not see that right now, but when they get to my age and your age, Dan, they'll appreciate some of the things we're doing with these guys right now.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Chance Coyle will join us. This is Dan Girard on basketball here on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Ref.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise.
At Taroni.
Ain't nothing but a pizza party.
At Taroni.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer.
So follow us down the Pizza Break Road.
All right.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right.
Pizza party at Taroni's.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back, Stan Girard, basketball on this Monday with you until 8 o'clock. We've got college basketball coming up next, Kansas and Baylor. Chance Coyle joining us during this segment. Chance, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Doing well, doing well. All right, so had a chance to visit with you Saturday after the ball game, and just a tremendous effort by this team coming from 15 down, 13 down at the half, and just the second half, like 48 points I think the team scored, and so how big? I mean, every win is big in the GLVC, but just to get a split with Indianapolis now and kind of get that those two games behind you, everybody was looking forward to it. Kind of just your final thoughts on the game Saturday.
It was just good to get one of the wins for the coaches. You know, it's obviously a rival game for all the players, but even more of a rivalry game for the coaches, being that's where they used to coach at.
So before this year, you just heard Coach say that it was, you know, he looked forward to kind of competing against USI just because he played here. Did you consider last year
the year before that, Indianapolis being a rivalry game.
Yeah, I thought so. It's always one of the more exciting games of the year. It seems like fans show out to the USI UND game and the USI Bellarmine games the most. So,
okay, what about just your, you know, last year, because, you know, Mateo was out, you were doing some point guard. You know, it was Joe Larrabee's first year. He was trying to acclimate himself to what was going on. You know, you're around the year before. But what about this year, Chance, and new coaching staff coming in and just trying to figure out what role you were going to have on the team?
I mean, obviously, like Coach said, they had me playing on the point guard position a little bit. And, you know, I felt like I could do it, but I don't really necessarily – want to say that I feel the most comfortable playing in that position. You know, I think I can do it at times, but, you know, like Coach said, I play a little better off ball, and I think I agree with that.
And the thing of it is, I mean, basketball is certainly a confidence game, and you can tell when the confidence may not be where it needs to be with players at certain times. And so coming into this season, you know, with Coach Gant being retained but new coaches coming in, what were some of those early meetings like with you and Coach Sprue, Coach Aldridge, and obviously with Coach T here?
I think it's just kind of always been the same meeting that we have with not only the coaches and individuals, but the coaches and the team. Everybody just play their game on offense and, you know, just work your tail off on defense. You know, Coach G is always preaching about how your offense may not be there, but, you know, your defense can be there every single game. So that's just kind of what I've tried to follow.
And the thing of it is, I mean, you look at college basketball, certainly USI. I mean, everybody that's on this team, they were outstanding high school basketball players, and you're certainly included in that. You come to college, and everybody, like you said, is a really good player. You have to kind of find your niche, find your role. As you said, you can always play good defense. What about kind of your offense based on Saturday now as far as your confidence? Has it always been pretty high? You just looking for your teammates, and then Saturday certainly you had some open looks and you took advantage of an opportunity.
My confidence on offense before Saturday had kind of been shaken up a little bit. I don't really have a reason why. It was nothing done by my teammates or my coaches. It was just kind of all in my head, and you know, my teammates especially and my coaches have been on me to, you know, play my game during the game and, you know, be ready to shoot, be ready to score, because they all know I can score. And finally, it just clicked on Saturday, and hopefully I'm able to keep it rolling.
I think maybe Coach Watson told me, were you originally going to go to Indianapolis?
Yeah, that was actually the plan. some stuff happened, though, between, you know, with scholarships and all that, and, you know, I didn't end up going there. But, you know, obviously it worked out for the best because Coach G ended up wanting to coach me anyway.
There you go.
I came here because of Chance, man. That's why I'm here, man.
That's exactly what I was getting at. No other reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that had to, you know, because again, I tell everybody, I was pretty shocked, you know, when I got the word. But, you know, when he got the job, it was just like, man, let's can't wait to get started. And then obviously, with everything that went on, and you're having those Zoom meetings in April and May, and you know, the university's locked down. You can't be in the gym. You can't be with your teammates. You know, you're back in Bloomington, you know, just trying to work on your game. What was that like just for you, again, trying to secure a role on this basketball team and not being able to be together with the new staff?
I mean, as far as developing a role, I don't really think I necessarily had a problem. I think, you know, I just kind of came in and the coaches knew what I was going to do. But I think the main thing for me was forming a relationship with my coaches. I'm more of like a in-person talk to people kind of guy. Like I'm not very good at reaching out over cell phone and all that. And I feel like it's just been harder for me to develop a relationship with all my coaches instead of, you know, as with like Watson and Owen and KG originally, I was just able to form a relationship with them so quickly. I think the last time I talked to Coach G in person before August was like my junior year of high school. So,
all right, Chance Crowell joining us. Well, talk about this basketball team and just trying to navigate through what we're going through. I mean, you know, start, stop the season, just trying to find some consistency, find some chemistry, develop a rhythm. As Coach talked about, you know, the trust factor is so vitally important at the college level. How is that going, the progress of that, Chance, over the last couple of weeks with all these road trips?
There's been ups and downs throughout, like, all the road trips, and, you know, I think in every season there's going to be ups and downs, but I feel like last game we all kind of started to click together a little bit, and I feel like in games before we'd had moments where we had all started to click, but last game being down 13 and then coming back, and obviously we had a 10-point lead, and I kind of messed that up a little bit with the 4-point play, but we're not going to get into that. And then, yeah, I feel like we're all really starting to come together, and I feel like things are starting to click now.
Do you feel that Saturday's game, the way that it started, down 15, down 13, that you hate to say the season's on the brink to take away from the book about IU, but, I mean, you're sitting there playing a team that going into that weekend, they were 0-7. They get a big victory at their place. They come out, lead 23-8, and could we look back in, say, a month or 6 weeks from now and say that comeback second-half win against Indianapolis was a turning point for this team?
Probably, honestly. I think we took big steps as a team in that second half, not even just on the basketball court, but I feel like internally we took big steps as a team. So, yeah, I would say so.
I agree. I think our biggest issue at Indy, and Chance, you'd agree, is eternally. You saw what happened on Saturday with the lineup change. We fell apart, not just on the court, but on the bench, in the locker room, in the huddles. And I told our guys after the game on Saturday that I didn't hear 1 ounce of negativity on the bench, in the locker room, in huddles on Saturday. And I think that helped us overcome that deficit that we were facing here. So I'd agree. I told Chance that he leads the country in the foul on a 3-point shooter. I think it's your third time. It's his third time, man.
Yeah, pretty bad.
But Chance is coming along, man, and we're really, really fortunate that he's now getting better. And I think the guys are instilling some confidence or trusting him more. And I think his best basketball is ahead of him.
Obviously, defense can lead to offense. Defense can get a team excited, and you talk about the turnovers. You talk about your aggressiveness on defense. And, again, you know, some of those fouls are aggressive fouls. You'd rather have that. I mean, I didn't go back and look at the tape. You certainly did. Some of those fouls, you probably don't have a problem with. Yeah,
no,
maybe you're up 10 with, you know, a couple minutes left to go, and you foul a 3-point shooter. I mean, it goes in, but, you know, what was the chance of I can't remember. I think it was Mikael Simmons hitting that three. I mean, it's not like you're fouling Corey Miller or Dean Montgomery. I mean, the kid had a good shot and was able to convert.
Yeah, he did, and credit goes to that kid. He stayed locked in and focused on that shot. But when I went back and looked at it, Chance was out of position as the ball was dribbling out. He never adjusted to where the ball was, and that forced him to close out harder. Now, we always say, I think he was a Ray Allen closeout. We name our closeouts. Ray Allen closeout means he can do nothing but shoot. A Kobe closeout, Kobe Bryant, he can shoot the ball and he can put it in the deck. A Rondo, you close short. And that was a proper closeout. He was a Ray Allen closeout. And in Chance's defense, he's closing out at 6'1", 6'2", to a 6'7", 6'8", guy. So I just feel like he didn't shift quick enough according to where the ball was. And that's a mistake we make, you know, but excuse me. It was a mistake playing hard, and I can live with that. I can live with that. And at the time, I didn't, because I gave Chance the PO'd stare down during the game. And we shared a couple of choice words with him when he was coming off. But he was a good sport about it. So, lucky we won the basketball game.
All right. So, where does the team right now, Chance, kind of go from here? I mean, obviously, another long road trip. Lewis Thursday, Illinois Springfield, two more teams in the Eastern Division. As a player, Do you look at standings, or is at that point, or you just kind of go and just want to get better every single day and let the chips kind of fall where they may, wins and losses?
Well, obviously, we got to watch the standings because we're trying to make the NCAA tournament. But at this point in the season, I think the team's goal right now is just to win every game at whatever cost we got to. You know, not every win is going to be a pretty win in the GLVC, and I think our guys understand that now because we had a lot of new guys that weren't here. And, yeah, pretty much just try to win out.
How do you feel the new guys are adapting to not only new teammates, new arena, new surroundings?
Pretty good. I can tell you one thing. They are not fans of the refs. they think everything's a little ticky-tacky, and we try to tell them that it was, and sometimes it ain't. But I feel like other than that, though, I think everybody's pretty well adjusted to the new environment.
All right. And obviously now your confidence level, is that another step up just as far as your comfort level with where you are in this basketball team?
Yeah. I'm sitting pretty good right now. I'm just going to ride out my confidence and, you know, just keep it going. You know, I'm not going to get too high, too low about anything.
What? Obviously, you were recruited to go to, you know, thought about going to Indianapolis. You're very close to your father, Neil, your parents. What's the one story that your dad told you about this guy that will resonate in your mind for a long time?
That he's just a really good player. I remember actually reading a little newspaper article that they had from back in the day, and it was like a cartoon of somebody and Coach G going to play on a basketball goal, and it had Coach G dunking on it, and then it said, "Hey Superman, maybe next time we can raise the goal up to 10 feet."
I bet that was said by Chad Gilbert. And Chad stole that picture. It's in his house right now. He stole that picture. So.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, man.
All right. Well, Chance, I really appreciate you coming by. Thanks so much.
I have a question. Time for a question for Chance.
Yeah.
I want to. Is there any pressure on you from Dad? This is now you're going to really throw your dad in the bus. Is there any pressure from you playing at a place where your dad left such a legacy here playing at USI?
Not from my dad, but only the pressure I put on myself because. Okay. I want to win, you know, and the only thing that I can do to match what he did is win a national championship. So.
All right. So I remember watching you guys when you were in high school. I came to a 6 a.m. workout, you know. Your dad put you through the workout. How was he as a coach, you know? How was it playing for your dad, man? Was it pretty cool or?
You know, I mean, it's like having a normal coach. Like, we didn't treat it like a father-son relationship. Good. Whenever we stepped in the gym. It was coach-player and. We weren't always the best at, you know, turning that on and off throughout high school and stuff, but, you know, I think it benefited us now more than anything. I have a great relationship with my dad.
1-on-1. Who's winning?
Me. Every
you get
time.
Him?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
You can't guard me.
1-on-1, you and him.
Probably still me. I've seen him shoot, but I don't know if he can still, you know, move like he used to.
Now, here's the thing. Ask Tyler Henry. Go talk to Tyler Henry next.
See, that's Tyler, though. He was probably talking the whole time, you know, got a little mad.
Now, my rule at my age, if you play me 1-on-1, it's one dribble, man. We don't have time for all that moving around, man.
See, I only need three.
I'm good.
All right, Chance, we'll see you at Lewis on Thursday. Thanks for your visit.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Chance.
Chance Coyle, we'll come back. We'll talk about the Big Red Flyers game on Thursday with Stan Girard as the Stan Girard Basketball Show continues here on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Ref.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto insurance today.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise.
Etteroni.
Ain't nothing but a pizza party.
Etteroni.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road.
All right.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right.
Does your bank offer the personal service of a community bank combined with big bank products that you expect? I'm Dane Chandler, Banking Center Manager with Banterra, and with our bank, you get the best of both worlds. Our easy-to-use mobile app includes conveniences like mobile check deposit. We offer competitive CD and money market rates, smart mortgage options, and unmatched business products and services. Switching to Banterra is easy. Stop by our locations to learn more. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Mark Bryant's Mattress Outlet is the only store in town where you will save up to 80% off famous name brands every day. Mark's Mattress Outlet carries the top name brand mattresses at closeout, clearance, and liquidation prices. They also manufacture their own line of luxury sleep natural mattresses, pillows, and adjustable bases, saving you up to 80%. That's compared to famous name brands. All famous brands are stocked, so bring your truck, your trailer, and sleep well tonight. Go to MarksMattress.com for a location near you and download the Outlet Pass for even more savings. Mark's Mattress Outlet, name brands for less.
Mark's Mattress Outlet.
Welcome back to Dan Gerardo Basketball here on this Monday. Eagles on the road, and then they'll be home for four straight beginning next Tuesday. Lewis and Illinois Springfield, the opponents this week on the road, beginning at Romeoville on Thursday. Well, Coach, they're 6-4. They've lost their last two at Illinois Springfield, got beat pretty bad there by 15, and then a very close game with Missouri St. Louis at home last Saturday, 69-64. Scott Trost, John Spruance, they go back a little ways as well. What kind of team are the Flyers?
Yeah, a lot of highs and lows, just like any other team in our league at this point. Well coached, execute very well. And they have some guys in place that that can beat you if you're not on top of your P's and Q's. Great team in terms of from the motion standpoint. And I think they execute very well. They have some bigs inside, and Williams and McCombs. Williams is a D1 transfer, super great athlete, and McCombs has been around for a while. So these guys are going to pose some challenges for us around the perimeter. You know, the thing about Travion Bell, D1 transfer. Travion Bell, we struggle guarding 3-point line, and this young man can step out to three and shoot the basketball. So we got to make sure what we do a better job of, one, guarding 3-point line with Bell, but also not letting guys like Dre Bell, Bruno Williams, and the Stapleton kid get going from three, because their numbers are not very high right now from a 3-point standpoint.
Low post, so how much from a physical standpoint, Price, Little, some of the other guys down low, they still going to have the size advantage?
Yeah, McCombs is 6'7", 230, but he's an experienced guy that has faced Josh and E-Man for years. He's below the rim post, but he's physical. He pushes you off your sweet spot. He can guard you one-on-one in the post. So it'd be interesting to see if they guard us with a double team in the post. I would be shocked if they didn't. But, you know, it's going to be a great matchup inside those two guys with Emmanuel against Bell and Josh against McComb. So we still got to develop an inside-outside attack, and that's not going to change. So our guys, again, have to post up deep and really be aggressive in the post. We can't turn the ball over. But those two guys in the post are going to be some problems for us inside.
Well, you know, obviously Lewis is one of those places. You know, I don't think we can say this about every gym in the GLVC, but, you know, that's always a very, very tough place to play because the fans are right on top of you. We won't have to worry about that on Thursday, so that's a good thing. But, you know, we're looking at right now this team on the road, 2-2, 3-2, I think, on the road. We're talking about trying to, you know, to win more games on the road than what typically you try to go .500 a little bit better. So these two games this week with the crowd in this, you look at the top of the East Division and everybody's within a game of each other. Indianapolis right now, it'll be interesting to see what happens to them following this past weekend and their confidence. They're going to beat some people coming down the stretch in January and February. But, boy, the log jam at the top between
The next three games, with two against Lewis and one against Springfield, there will be some separation by the time we finish next Tuesday.
Exactly. We're sitting at 5-3. Lewis is sitting at 6-4. McKendree's 4-3, and of course Springfield 5-4. And our next three games are against these two opponents. We got Lewis twice, and then Springfield once. So we got a chance to gain some separation here if we handle our business, and that was my message to our guys today. Despite us being 5-3, we're in first place in our division, you know. But we got to gain some separation. We can't win one, lose one. We got to put some together on the road and get a streak going here. We have to make up some ground, you know. When I played for Pearl, he was a firm believer in protect home court, split on the road, you know. But we lost to Rockers at home, so we got to get a couple on the road, you know. And this is a great weekend for us to go out and try to cover some ground here and gain some separation.
All right, so bring us up to date then. Injuries, we saw Rivera go out a couple times on Saturday. Tyler went out for a little bit, came back. Clayton was limited to 5 minutes. Dancy started, played 4 or 5 minutes. What is the latest on the injury report?
Well, all those guys you just mentioned are injured from ankle sprains throughout the last two games. Dancy and both Clayton started, but then once they came out of the game and they couldn't go back in, I tried to get those guys back in the game and they just couldn't do it. And that was their call, you know. When I asked Dancy and Bo Clayton, can you go, and they said no, so we had to result with some other guys. Tyler Henry went out with the same injury, an ankle injury, and he was out, and then he came back in the basketball game. He did not practice or shoot today. Rather, he just shot free throws and got some treatment from Laura. Mateo's fine, you know. He same issue. He had an ankle injury during the game as well, and he's a full go. Other than that, you know, Tyler Martin's been out. He's slowly getting closer back to being ready to go. But I was disappointed, as you saw in the game of the day. Our guys wasn't being allowed to come down after a shot. Every time we came down, we had guys under their feet. You know, it's very rare to get an ankle injury, but to get four or five ankle injuries in a game or two from the same team, that tells you something that the officials are not allowing these guys to come down from their shot. And that's what my disappointment was in the game, because we didn't protect our shooters. And we're very fortunate there was no ankle breaks, because Tyler Henry, his was pretty severe. It looked bad on film, but thank God he's okay.
All right, good deal. So we look forward to the games on Thursday and Saturday this week on the road. And well, I guess we got maybe some encouraging news for fans of the radio show with Taroni's.
Can't wait. Next week we're going to try to get some fans in the building here, and hopefully everybody's listening will come out and join us. I don't know what the number will be, but we're going to try to get our people back, man. I haven't seen them in a while. So I haven't seen them yet, but I know some people that have been around I've missed, and there's some people I haven't seen in years that are kind of anxious. So if you're listening, thank you for listening and being a loyal fan of USI. And next week, we're going to try to get you guys in the building and talk some basketball and hang out, because I do miss those days. With the COVID constraints, we're going to bring our guys in the back door like we talked about, Dan, and get them in and out, because we still have to test every week to make sure we can play. But we try to get some people in the building next week and spend an hour together and talk some hoops.
All right, so we'll talk to the folks here at Taroni's, and certainly if something we can get something next week, we'll get the word out to Ray Simmons, and he will spread it as well. Does a great job. So again, let us just have a few conversations with some folks, and then hopefully maybe back at Taroni's next Monday and get some fans back here and have a real college basketball.
Can I interrupt you real quick? Jeff Duncan, right? That's the name
Yes.
you mentioned. He's from Colorado.
Living in Colorado, yeah.
And he listens every week. Now, am I right? He's back in town?
Back in town.
Okay, and he's dealing with some issues with his family, right? So
yes.
We just send him prayers out to Jeff and his family. Hopefully everything goes the right way. It's all in God's hands, but we're praying for he and his family.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stan. We'll see you on Thursday.
Thank you.
All right. Corey Clayton's been our producer. Special thanks to Chance Coyle, Coach Gerard. I'm Dan DeGruski. This has been Stan Gerard on basketball. Nice. Stay tuned. Kansas and Baylor coming up next here on ESPN, 97.7 FM, The Ref.
You've been listening to Stan Gerard on basketball here on ESPN 97.7.